welcome to Show Me Mike, a podcast about podcasting, where I talk to other podcasters about their podcasts. You can find it online at goodstuff.fm/SMYM or on Twitter at SMYM_FM. I'm your host, Chris Enns. For this episode, I've got Kyle Roderick on the show, Good Stuff partner in crime-er. And we have another sort of podcast network owner therapy session, as it were, talking about recent goings-on here with Good Stuff. And also just talking about podcasting production in general and some tips Kyle has for an app to use to aid in production of a show. So stick around for that. Thanks for listening. If you want to be on the show, visit goodstuff.appointlet.com and you can be a guest on a future episode. For now, here's my conversation with Kyle. Hello, hotel Wi-Fi.
Yeah, pretty much. Hotel Wi-Fi and like a completely 180 degree setup from the last time that I was here at WWDC. Do you remember when Ray Ortega retweeted me and called me out for that being a quote unquote mobile setup?
Right.
Yeah.
Was that last year's WWDC?
That was last year's WWDC. This is a pretty good time to reset. I don't know, reset your cache, redo your browser history, kind of thing, you know, and just reevaluate your life. It's my coming to jobs moment, I believe.
Right. Yeah. Coming to jobs. It's the Jubilee time of year where all debts are forgiven, right, and everything's wiped clean. We move on.
Mecca, I believe. Yep.
Right. Shalom. We'll just defend every religion.
Why not?
Yeah. It's podcasting. It's not the real thing.
How are you?
I'm well this morning. This is the show, by the way. We'll include this in some form.
Why not?
Holds up, we'll include it in the show because I want to include. All right. Subject the listeners to as much good stuff as possible. Oh, I don't have my soundboard going. I need a ding.
There's
take a drink every time you hear good stuff.
No, yeah. Let's say sound cue cart. See, I've got everything running over here, but I have it going through Audio Hijack, which is what technically. I mean, if we want to get into the gear eventually, is what is technically allowing me to have all this stuff sent over to you properly and record with Kenny and do that kind of stuff here from the comfort of this. Probably multiple person soaked chair that I'm lounging in.
Well, you look into that. I'll explain. So Kyle's coming to us from the WWDC show floor, from a hotel room floor near the WWDC floor, and we recorded a few episodes back, which I'll include in the show notes, of course. But a few episodes back, we recorded an episode that was kind of like a podcast network owner therapy session, as it were. And so we thought we'd do a little follow-up to that, and it just so happened to align this week that with WWDC going on and the fact that I didn't have a guest today either, both of those factors aligned to allow for space and freedom in having Kyle join me. So as long as Skype holds up, knock on wood or whatever you knock on to help have Skype hang on, we'll be chatting about stuff. So
does it sound really terrible on your end?
It doesn't sound super amazingly terrible. It doesn't sound super amazing. I think the audience can attest or would remember you from the previous episode and know that you're better than this.
just imagine my voice. This is what I sound like. What I can do as well is what we call in the business a double ender, and I'll just send that to you at the end of this whole.
So maybe
spiel.
They're listening to this, and we decided to use the double ender and. They won't even, they'll be like, Chris is talking crazy again. Doesn't know what he's talking about. Why am I listening to Chris talk about podcasting when he clearly has no clue what he's doing?
Right.
So, did you get to, in the way of WWDC keynotes, this isn't an Apple podcast specifically, but just out of curiosity, did you get to, were you partaking in the keynote or were you just watching it like the rest of us on your computer hotel Wi-Fi?
Nah, I lived it like a normal human being. I didn't go into the keynote hall, whatever they call it, the Moscone Center over here. I saw people lining up around 3 a.m. I didn't see them physically with my eyeballs, but I saw the tweets on Twitter happening. So I wanted to avoid that. That didn't. I'm here mostly just to learn, you know, and be into the technical depth of all of the technology that they announced yesterday, and just, I don't know, absorb myself, be a sponge to the Apple knowledge.
I'm trying to think. There wasn't anything. Oh, iTunes music and stuff and radio and things. I guess theoretically down the road, you could see if the radio thing went off really well, they might do some sort of live 24/7 podcast station or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe I can ask you, did you watch the whole presentation through to the end? Because if you did, cheers to you, sir. But two, is it one radio station? Like, is it called Beats One because it's one radio station?
Well, that's what I'm still watching it, actually. It's still going, actually, right now. I don't know if Eddie Q is still talking about
it's still going.
Favorite music.
All the features. Just can I hear the next song in your playlist, sir? Thank you.
I can't imagine they went through that. Like, the Drake part, fellow Canadian, Drake, talking for 10 minutes about how amazing he is and how happy he is to be able to bring his stuff to the poor normal people out there.
Right.
And the sort of triple speak or double speak of, like, there's never been a way before to reach people aside from YouTube and SoundCloud and putting up a website and putting Twitter and Instagram and, you know, like all these other avenues that artists have had. And yes, it's like, you know, nicely packaged into one location, but as if they're going to be still, like, not posting anywhere else. Like, anyway.
It seemed like a really backhanded kind of thing to announce, especially as a one more thing at the end of a developer conference. They were like, well, there are these other apps which, scoff, obviously aren't good enough. There's Spotify, there's YouTube, there's whatever. And now we're going to basically take the same model that all you fine folks making money on the App Store are doing and adopt that ourselves and be completely vague and unspecifically clear about how this actually works, but this just, you know, it works. And I did not get a good vibe from any of that.
No, it's the radio thing. There is going to be three radio stations, but just three based out of three different cities is what I understood. Three variations or three locations for Beats One Radio or something, which I still don't understand how that really makes all that different. You know, like they alluded to, even like there's internet radio, but it's just a bunch of playlists. I'm like, well, no, there is actually people who do this,
right,
do what they're doing. But obviously without the clout and the money and the celebrity power or whatever that Apple can draw on. But, so I don't, I mean, from the worldwide thing of everybody listening to the same thing at the same time is kind of cool and fun and makes for a great marketing thing. But whether people will, like, people are tuning away from radio in favor of listening to their own music anyways, it seems like an odd push, just because you can put that on a device doesn't mean necessarily people are going to tune in any more than they would have before. But we'll see, I guess. It feels like one of those things that'll be like an afterthought afterwards, like when it doesn't really pan out, and you know, they can obviously track very closely how many people are listening and where they are and stuff, anonymously or whatever, without your data.
Right. Well, the other thing is too, they've got the whole iTunes radio thing that has been out for a year or so, maybe a little bit longer. I can't remember if it was the last announcement or maybe it was September or some other time. Either way, they had this model of, hey, we bring you free streaming on-demand music that is either curated or is created by these, you know, smart genius genre calculator things, and you can play them back for free with commercials. There's NPR, there's whatever else. So they had some inkling of this previously, but like you said, not an Apple podcast.
Yeah. So who knows? We'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Podcasting, as it were.
Show me your even before we get to this, I was perusing the internet this morning, and I wanted to see if this was something that you do, and maybe turn the tables here a bit. Podcasting, listening to podcasts to help you fall asleep. Is this something you've tried? Do you do it on the regular? If you do, what do you listen to?
A previous guest, I'm trying to remember now, forgive me for not remembering who it was exactly, but a previous guest mentioned that they do that. And I've never thought of doing that because I'd have to find a very specific kind of podcast to listen to that would help me fall asleep, because otherwise I can have it on in the background when I'm working, listening to a show where I don't necessarily care about every specific detail. Like interview shows like this one, for example, probably I would listen to in the background, or sometimes This American Life, or
fall asleep, Chris. Fall asleep.
Looking through my playlist. So like some of the even the Gimlet stuff, Reply All and stuff, where it's like it's interesting, but it's not, I don't need to hear every little detail. And then there's other shows that I do definitely want to hear every little detail of. And so then
right.
I listen in a focused way, say while I'm washing dishes, where I'm not doing other stuff that requires my full mental attention. I guess being married, for one, either I'd have to fall asleep to a podcast that both Sue and I wanted to listen to and would help us both fall asleep, or fall asleep with headphones on, which seems like a dangerous way to go to sleep.
there's a cable involved somewhere that you just would end up tangled up in, probably. Well, I haven't done this myself, but I'm just checking out this new, I guess, blogging thing that Casper emailed me about, the mattress provider, on different sleep things that people are, I guess, interested in, science and news and this sort of opinion style piece here of what podcasts to listen to while you're trying to fall asleep. It would have to be the equivalent of a non-funny version of Neil deGrasse Tyson talking about space, probably. That would be my ideal falling asleep material. But I've also been kind of considering this. I'm going to send you into our shared robot here. Acoustic sheep sleep headphones.
What did you call them?
Apparently... what they're like a headband with built-in Bluetooth headphones, I guess, that are supposed to be soft, where you can wear this and your partner apparently they won't hear it. So I don't know, shut out the world and your the love of your life, and listen to podcasts, I guess, is what you should take away from this.
That's awesome.
Just all I've been thinking about these and what podcasts would go with them. I don't know. They recommend some like technical fly fishing podcasts here. I think I would find some new stuff and find some stuff that I did not even know existed, like this multi-part series about trout streams. But hey,
I wonder, maybe I almost don't want to know, but if listeners out there put this show on to fall asleep to.
We should wake him up with a commercial break with dance music behind it or something crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of which, this is another little show me your podcast segues. The Slack Variety Pack recently. So Slack, the company that everybody seems to be using and we're using for communication here at Good Stuff, they've put out a podcast called The Variety Pack. Episode 2 was released recently, and as part of that podcast, they had a great segment highlighting how to produce a popular podcast and basically mocking, all the aspects of popular podcasts, particularly sort of the storytelling NPR style. Let's play a little sample.
You are listening to a single serving.
Single serving.
Of the Slack
Variety Pack.
Welcome to the part of this podcast where we teach you how to make your podcast sound like all the other really popular podcasts. The first thing you want to focus on is how you sound. You don't want to sound like a reporter. You want to sound like a regular person. So use the word like a lot. And you want to take pauses. Pauses that feel like they may go on too long.
All right. I was laughing my head off because it sort of pokes fun at the like the 99% Invisible style NPR,
yeah.
And like which are podcasts I love. So don't hear this and think I'm taking the piss out of them or whatever and think they're stupid or something or bad for. But there is like that style, and which obviously is popular. It's hard for me to talk that way or take really long pauses in my speech.
Talk but that way?
Can't deny the success.
It's like everything's a question. Yeah. I don't know. I can't. I feel maybe it's because I did work with Tim Smith on something where we were attempting to follow this same. I feel like I'm doing it now. I can't get away from it. We attempted to do this same sort of thing with storytelling and reports and music behind it and interjecting quotes and things like that for the record. And so all I'm thinking about when I hear these produced podcasts is what do the logic tracks look like? And especially now because folks like Dan Benjamin, Mike Hurley, Jason Snell are posting on Twitter like, hey, this is what the logic tracks and the multi-tracks and all that stuff looks like. That's all I can think about. I visualize how it is produced instead of listening to the content. I can't help it. And I don't know what to do. Maybe that's a symptom of just being inside of the podcasting world. And if you want to save your sanity, I suppose either don't listen to that or don't try to produce a podcast like that. I don't want to tell you not to do that, dear listener of this fine program. But that's at least my personal experience.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit of like the once you know how a hot dog is made kind of thing, maybe.
Yeah.
But
yes.
It's tough because I find myself gravitating from like one extreme of really enjoying the storytelling, say on 99% Invisible, but then also like, okay, why is Roman Mars always repeating what the guest just said with just a slight extra touch of gravitas and weight as if it was that important when all the guest said was cheeseburger or something, you know? And
right. Cheeseburger. Which,
yeah. Or sometimes they have like both him and the co-host repeat what the guest said and like, but anyways, it's fun to pick it apart and kind of like poke. I always find anyways, if you're unable to poke fun of yourself in your own industry, you're probably taking yourself too seriously and it's time to check yourself before you wreck yourself, I think is what the
right.
kids say. But
yeah.
Probably with, you should have just repeated that after me more. With
check yourself.
Longer pauses.
Well, maybe it's for the sleeping folks who, you know, they're half awake and they need to make sure they reiterate what that person just said. I don't know. Maybe they know their listeners better than we do.
Roman Mars alluded, speaking of him, he alluded to giving a TED talk, which I was going to watch just to see, like, does he talk this way in real life or is it some like an affectation he puts on for the show, you know, as part of his, which is fine. Like it's a performance thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I definitely talk slightly differently here with you on this show than I do if I'm just talking to a friend or, you know, any of those kinds of things. You are sort of performing in a sense, but
right.
But yeah, I just want somebody to follow me around and just repeat important things I say occasionally.
Occasionally
is what I'm saying. Sort of like a parrot on my shoulder.
That would be okay. Just a parrot who could keep up, I guess.
Yeah, and with. Without the squawky sound, but like sort of like speaking almost barely there. But anyways, we're going way off track.
The parrot podcasting, I guess.
Parrot podcasting. Parrot podcasting. That's a new programming term. One thing I want to touch on, last episode when we had this conversation, which not this exact conversation, but the conversation we're about to have of sort of the running a podcast network therapy / grape session / awesome session is that we have determined it's going to be okay. I was listening back to it earlier today and as I do every Tuesday, that conversation. I sounded rather maybe down on the idea. And I think we recorded that conversation right in the midst of a storm of like, what the heck are we going to do next kind of stuff that was going on. And we have had a lot of, over the last, whatever, 2 weeks or so at least, just a lot of decisions made and sort of moving forward and things getting checked off on checklists and stuff like that and figuring out how to use GitHub and Heroku and things like that. That's me. I'm the idiot when it comes to that stuff. But
you're also the one doing the grunt work on a lot of that stuff and grunt in terms of like oomph and pizzazz maybe, but not the actual grunt, because I think that's a programming term that I myself am not familiar with.
Gulp and grunt, I think, are the two. Yeah, that you,
no,
you
no idea.
And I wouldn't say there's a lot of pizzazz, but we're getting there. And I think it has helped. Like we've been running good stuff with 3/4 people for the last while, and we're now sort of down to 2. And on the one hand, I think we alluded to in that episode, you know, it's a bit of like last man standing goes down with a ship feeling sometimes, but also it has helped streamline stuff. Like as it just makes sense with numbers, where there's 3, it's easy to get deadlocked with a three-way or tie or whatever in a conversation about stuff, or you're waiting for a third to drop their opinion in or give feedback or finish something. Whereas with 2 of us, it's just easy to be like, okay, you're doing that. Okay, I'm going to do this and moving forward. And and I think it, in as much as there's, you could say there's a knock against Tim or Adam or whatever in the past who are here, it was more just the factor of that being, it's harder to do stuff with more people involved. It's a lot of things are easier in terms of sharing the weights, but I could see it being, if maybe in terms of advice for people out there, like there's certainly people you probably have in your life who you could probably do something with and you'd have really easy conversation style with and be able to talk through stuff with. But at the same time, it's kind of like maybe getting to a certain point, a certain bunch of decisions made, and then bringing people on board to go to the next phase or whatever of it might be easier.
And I think there's some sort of like familiarity with a partnership style decision-making process between the two of us. I know I have been in a long-term relationship with the person I'm with right now, and it almost feels like that kind of thing where you and I need to make decisions. They're business decisions, but either way, they're just decisions that I need to solicit your opinion. You need to solicit my opinion. We need to come to an agreement that is both beneficial for the two of us. There's a lot of like relationship dynamic around how that kind of thing happens. Now, when you add a third or a fourth person to that mix, it's statistics, really. It has nothing to do with the personalities involved or anything. It's only about, it's more difficult in that scenario because you're not necessarily always around that type of decision-making process or, you know, how do you logically maneuver yourself around getting the opinions of 4 different people that are all part of this same group who may differ, may not differ. I'm speaking in really vague terms, but that's just because, you know, there isn't really a way to do that kind of thing. You could come to a vote like you're saying, but a lot of times you get deadlocked and one person feels like the outsider while 2 of the people feel like they are going the right path for whatever the decision was, big, small, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's, I know for me, like as a personality flaw, even the sort of the third wheel or feeling like the one without the 2 other 2 or whatever,
right,
just outside of the good stuff thing, just in life in general, has often been and probably I would guess a lot of people struggle with that. It feels natural to me because it's something I do struggle with, but like feeling like, and then reading into things a lot way more than you should when it's really just like the other 2 people are just getting some stuff done because we need to get stuff done, not anything personal against you or whatever, vice versa. But then also being overly sensitive, I find myself overly sensitive the other way of like, if I'm with 2 people trying to make sure that the third person's involved and understands what's going on, when really they're just like, okay, just get it done. I don't care. Like, I don't need all the mushy feelings part, just get your stuff done or whatever. So, Yeah, and that's a great point too, because I think if we were in person meeting at a coffee shop or having meetings in a boardroom or whatever, the Good Stuff boardroom, you can sort of hammer out a lot of easier stuff without doing some, as opposed to doing stuff over Skype or Hangouts or whatever, mm-hmm. that just mm-hmm. kind of get in the way sometimes. So, but yeah. But anyways, I think that's as far as the past and then going forward, one of the big struggles that we've had as a podcast network is just like it stems from financials. So the ebb and flow of sponsorship money coming in and not coming in, which then relates directly to obviously paying your bills. And there's, you know, obviously hosting costs. We're, as a network, we wrestled with the idea of, because we have a custom CMS created and built by Tim Smith, which you can license at ttimsmith.com/CMS.
I believe so.
I'll check that. And you too can have this exact CMS for yourself. yeah, there it is. And but then we were wrestling with, okay, it's set up to host through S3, and S3 obviously is great, except if you get really popular and if a show gets downloaded a lot and then you pay a lot. And we didn't have necessarily guaranteed funding coming in. And so what do we do? And so we wrestled with the idea of switching back to like a WordPress sort of multi-site type of thing and sort of started a bit down that road. And then now we're kind of switching back to continuing with the CMS that we have, which is, again, great CMS for podcasting, especially a podcast network. I'd say it's probably overkill if you're just a podcast. But even there, there is a lot of stuff that makes things, streamlines a lot of the aspects of publishing an episode. Even if you're just doing one podcast, I suppose. But the big thing, like I was saying, hosting media files, where am I going with this? Oh, yeah. We've worked out a great arrangement. I want to give huge props and thanks to the folks over at FeedPress, Alex in particular. Feed.press is the URL, thanks to the fancy TLDs, is that what they're called?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Feed.press, they've helped move all the great shows. I shouldn't say that. That's bad because we're not moving all the shows over. All the great shows that Kyle and I like, so you can read into that and say we don't like the other shows, which isn't true,
right,
actually.
Right.
Anyways, we're basically streamlining things. We're going light, and so as a result, hosts are basically deciding themselves for their show rather than the network deciding. Do you want to continue the show? It's this much per month to host your show if you want. If not, no harm done. You can take your show elsewhere and do what you want with it. And then we're all going to sort of go in together as a network still, or at a show level in search of sponsorship. Sort of communist / what's the other one? Not communist. What can I? Anyway.
Stalinist, which is, I guess, communist, but different.
Right.
I have no idea.
So I don't know what I was trying to say either. But anyways, the folks over at FeedPress is the company. They've been doing FeedPress or feed redirection, feed hosting for blogs and stuff for a long time. In the last number of months, probably closer to a year, they've added podcasting support as well. And so if you've got like a WordPress blog, for example, easy to throw on their WordPress plugin, subscribe to their podcasting component, and they'll give you great stats and stuff all as part of your feed. And it's nice because it keeps it separate from WordPress or from Libsyn or from any other company that, as far as your feed, it's easy to redirect it, manage it there, even if you change your host and company for your website, etc. I kind of jumbled through that, but any comments on any of that?
I've been using those guys actually just to redirect personal blog feeds and things like that for a while. So it was neat to see them adding not only support for podcast feeds, but also podcast hosting, which is how we're going to be moving forward with all of our MP3 files that you download here, this kind of thing, listening in your ears, without necessarily thinking too much about, you know, can we cover the bandwidth month to month dependent on how many folks listen to this? Because it's almost counterintuitive. We don't want people to listen to the point of it's surpassing the income that we have for this, because then it's not sustainable anymore. Then we cannot continue the show. And we ran into that with transmission. It was not sustainable given the income that we had. We were thankfully able to bring that back this month, thanks to a sponsor being able to cover that bandwidth. But you know, we wouldn't be able to otherwise. So it is really a game changer for us, in that it's one less thing for us to think about. And really, that is kind of what Tim CMS does so well. It's, there are so many of these like little things that are one less thing to think about, like the adding links to your show notes. It is one less thing for me to think about. I don't have to install this Chrome extension in order to create a markdown sheet with all the tabs that I have open right now. It's just sort of, I see the link, you click on the link, and I put it in there. Just, you know, small stuff that this is sort of, it's not something that was built into it from the outset, but it is something that I think will help us, and kind of keeping everything sustainable. Sustainability really is the key word going forward for you and I, Chris, and I think this is sort of step one in being able to do that. And as much as, you know, we'd love for all the great shows, as you said, to continue still being on the Good Stuff Broadcasting Network, it is really up to the hosts, and we want it to be that way. We want the shows that are creator-owned, creator-produced, to either want to continue their show on the network, or we, you know, if they are theirs to decide what they want to do with them.
Yeah, and differing in terms of the style of something like it's not that we'll take any and all shows then as a result of that as on the network, because there is a cost to setting it up and a cost to just maintaining it. And there's also, it still is, it feels a bit like we're jumping on the Apple Music podcast or radio bandwagon here now, as far as like messaging.
Hold on,
and branding.
Let me just show you my my favorite podcast here. I'm going to play this snippet of one podcast and...
Exactly. but there is like a Good Stuff sort of messaging and branding or whatever and style that we want to try and build, and we want to have interesting shows that are interesting to us, be a part of the network. But it's less of that where a podcast network like a 5x5 maybe, or I'm drawing blanks, sorry, like Relay, or there's others out there, many other podcast networks out there, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But where mm-hmm. it's like, you bring your show to them, they'll help you take care of everything, the sponsorship stuff, and but then your show might not be performing well enough, and so then it could get cut or moved, or you want to, yeah, all sorts of stuff, and less of that kind of headache and overhead, in for our opinion. Like the folks like Dan Benjamin and stuff we talked with, they're doing a great job at it and enjoy the aspects of the podcasting stuff that they're doing. But for us, Kyle and I, in this situation we're in right now anyways, it's more of, we need this to be a fun thing. We're okay with doing some work and having it be a challenge and building something bigger, but day to day we have to be able to not be, sorry, we can't be in it day to day right now. It has to be something that can run itself a bit more, both from a financial perspective as well as programmatically, and just kind of like, we can't be running around chasing after sponsors right now. It has to be able to go lean for a while. And that's where we have to be. I have to, like I said, give huge thanks to Alex and the folks. I say folks, it's actually two guys at Feet Press, which is pretty impressive for just a two-person company doing this thing that they do. Because without them, for the next year, basically, we have a... Effectively, they're sponsoring Good Stuff for a year with some hosting and support and stuff for our feeds. And so that basically allows us to do this. And so it gives us a runway, effectively, of a year to determine where this could go and how we might get there and what might happen with it. And so,
right,
like you said, with it's a thing where, like, if you're running your own standalone podcast site, maybe you're a podcaster out there and you're listening to this thing. Well, why didn't they just go with Libsyn or go with whatever? And we did investigate a lot of those other options, and the problem is just a matter of scale, where we have four, five, six, let's say six shows right now that are going to be moving forward, and a single Libsyn account to manage all those shows, including especially transmission, which is like basically going to be a daily show. The bandwidth or storage space just gets used up very quickly. And so it's not that we were against the idea of using a Libsyn or using a PodPress or whoever, PowerPress hosting and that kind of stuff. But more that FeetPress came with a great service, a great product, as well as some great support for us. And we're happy to throw, like I said, throw our weight behind them in terms of supporting them as a result. So,
and I think there is too this transference of services, I guess, and thinking a little bit more into how we can report back to potential sponsors or people who have already sponsored or, you know, continuing sponsors on our statistics. Well, who's visiting the website? Who is downloading? Where is Show Me Your Mic most popular? Is it Slovenia? Well, maybe it's Slovenia. You know, it's being able to get that type of information too makes a service like FeedPress's, and I know Libsyn does the same thing, and I think even Simplecast is, I think that's what it's called, allows you to do these like geolocation things and know which of the services are downloading your podcast the most, which podcast player, which application, where are you getting the most traffic from for your website, stuff like that. I think these small incremental changes for the network, for good stuff, are sustainable not just financially, but also in our workload. This isn't what you and I do full time, because it just can't be. And I think you had this conversation with your wife too, where it's like the thing you want to put the most of your time into is the thing that you know is the hardest to get a return on. It's the thing that you cannot guarantee that you are going to get paid to do. And for a lot of people, and for me, it's a hobby. And some of my favorite podcasts right now are actual real true-to-life radio shows that are on terrestrial radio. And I just love listening to the downloaded version of those shows. And those are people who get paid to do this on the daily. They are hired by giant corporations to syndicate their shows in multiple markets. And we sometimes it's difficult to put all of this into perspective, all of which is to say it's just not super important whether or not we're able to make money on it in these initial stages. It's about us enjoying what we're doing. It's about committing to putting more good stuff into good stuff and just kind of trucking along, keeping on. And I think one of the purveyors of this idea, somebody who I've really respected in doing this, is definitely Jordan Cooper over at his multiple shows, all the great shows that he puts out. And he shows up every day, showing up. And I think we're trying to get to that point, Chris, you and I. We want to show up. We want to have, you know, pretty valuable content. Content you and I enjoy putting out, having people on our good stuff staff who show up, are interested in putting shows together, and continue moving this thing along. It will grow. It will continue to put stuff out, and that's just the way it's going to be. It sounds a little like existential, I guess, and just like, oh, I don't know what it's going to be, but it is, I don't know what's going to happen. It just is. I think that is the most important part for me right now. It just is. It exists.
Yeah, I think, and that does sound like, on the one hand, maybe listening, you think, well, they're not really trying that hard. They're just kind of like throwing it out there and stuff. And I think, like you said, we do want high quality shows. We do want to put the best we can into it. But we also want to acknowledge that life is happening around this. And maybe we're making excuses. I don't know. We'll see. It's for me and you, I think it feels like, okay, this is now, I forget what we called it, version 3 or whatever of of good stuff. Relaunching it in a sense, even though somebody coming to the website wouldn't necessarily notice anything different technically about it or whatever. It's not a huge rebrand or redesign or anything like that we're going to do. But it is kind of just, all right, we're starting over again now. And going forward, here's what we need to do to sustain this. And then in a few months, we'll begin to talk about growth strategies or whatever in fourth quarter profits and other businessy terms that we'll get into.
Yeah. I don't know.
I wanted to say, in terms of the sponsorship, and I think even numbers-wise, it's tough. Like, if you've listened to if you listen to this show, you're probably familiar with shows like Dan Benjamin's Podcast Method and other podcasts about podcasts that are out there. You mentioned Ray Ortega's show. And the business side of podcasting is getting tougher and tougher. And there's certainly shows that come along where they strike a right nerve and have a intense production value and things. I'm thinking of like Lore podcast that's Aaron, who's guest on this show a few episodes back, has just been knocking it out of the park and getting huge downloads and stuff. And that happens from time to time for sure. And he put in the effort to get to that point and was also at the right place, right time for that. But when a show like a Transmission, you know, is in that 2,000 to 3,000 downloads an episode space, it's at that awkward, like, it's not big enough to be hugely popular, but too big to be sustainable at a cheaper price or at a money-wise sustainable level. And that's what we were referring to. So when you're paying, you know, $100 a month for an S3 bill or whatever it ends up being, that adds up over time. And so that's why we're having to sort of just focus and go lean.
As kind of, I don't know, humble braggy as that sounds too, it's like some podcasts would love to have 2,000 to 3,000 downloads per episode. But I think the general thought is that in those instances, there's this big divide. There's this gigantic gap where major sponsors, the money, the like dollar sign, hashtag, like giant money bag emoticon, like that type of money comes with podcasts who, yes, are doing those huge amounts of downloads and bringing the interest, and you can farm that kind of thing out to a mid-roll, to an Archer Avenue, to whoever, in order to secure the sponsorship on your behalf, because it's almost a full-time job to be able to search for these people, cold call these people, make the connections in the industry in order to make what you're doing sustainable. And to think for some of these shows that you could make that top tier dollar emoticon amount based on a $7 per month Libsyn bill is mind blowing. The return on investment plus time plus whatever else you're putting into there, paying your, you know, hosting bills, you're paying your co-host, you're paying your producer, whatever you are doing. It's a pretty good return on investment, and I think that's what attracts a lot of people to it. But I think also at the same time, that's kind of, I don't know, it's a weird, sleazy part of podcasting. That's probably not a great term, but it's part of the podcasting thing that it gives me the heebie-jeebies sometimes, where I don't want to reach out to a sponsor, or I want to, you know, be kind to these people who are reaching out to us asking, you know, hey, what are your statistics on your podcast so that we can know if it's a great fit for our business. And I want to be fair. I want to be balanced. It's tough. It like fights, and I'm sure you feel this too, it fights this inner need to just be a kind person about that kind of thing. And
Having an apologetic Canadian and a ultra polite American as your podcast network heads probably doesn't serve us as well sometimes. We're the nice guys, and I'm sorry that we don't have enough downloads for you right now. And I'll deliver you some Saskatoonberry pie if you please just sponsor a network.
Hold on, you have your own berry up there?
What? You don't know this? You got to do a bit more research on. I'll send you some Wikipedia articles on Saskatoon berries.
Wow, I'm gonna look it up right now. Wow, yeah, you're right. Well, okay,
there goes your net.
It looks like a blue.
Okay, one thing I know, right? In the gear part, podcast network therapy session over. All right, this is where we have the different musical segue. All so right. To cue you into the fact that we're talking about something different, something different.
Something different.
One thing I wanted to ask you about that we've talked a little bit, I think we talked a brief bit about it, and maybe I was just the dummy who didn't pay attention and then all the listeners went out and checked it out. But this app that you're using on Transmission to sort of drive the show in terms of just like what we were joking about, musical cues and things like that, called QLab. And right. I finally sort of grokked it, understood it, and was messing around with it, and just for working out a different an idea for a show. And I guess I just don't ever hear it being discussed as an app in the podcasting world very often. It's probably something that's geared a little bit more for maybe radio production and or dramatic theater houses. It allows you to do video as well, but queuing up audio for where you can set it for, I'll do a butchering of the description and you can do the professional version, but queuing up audio to have it, you have your audio music for just like what you do in Logic after in post-production, where you'd have an intro that fades in and then is full volume and then it drops down to like 90% or 10% of volume for while you're doing your little intro, and then it fades back up again to full volume, and then it cuts out, fades out for the discussion of the show, let's say. And you can have that all programmed into QLab as a template, basically, that you walk you through the show. And then maybe you have a segment where you do want some background music, and so then you can have that queued up. So it just fades in from the intro and then loops back on a certain point over and over until you hit the cue to go to the next segment and that kind of thing. And so is that what am I forgetting about QLab that does a better job of explaining?
I think that's a good explanation of its, I guess, core feature. Like that is what you would use it for. And it's specifically for, it says, rich media designs for live performances and installations. So it is very much focused on a performance aspect of whatever program it's being designed for. So let's say it's a stage performance, or it is in our case on transmission, like a radio show. We would use it also on For the Record. I know Tim used it also on the East Wing. It allows you to keep this very, maybe not very rigid, but semi-rigid framework to your program, because you can create what you were calling cues that allow you to move in between these pre-selected scenes. So it is, I don't know, go over to figure53.com/QLab. That's where you can find out more about it. It's free to use. That's the number one thing for us, is that we're not paying for the basic bundle, the pro bundle, any of that. The features that you hear every morning on that program are the things that are built into QLab. And we spread out a couple of things like the soundboard onto one of their partner products on QCart. But it is all done using the free version of QLab. And it is incredibly powerful. There's a lot more features, things like controlling microphones, like you said, showing video, something called devamping. They have industry terms listed in here that for the average user would be overwhelming, I think. It's like if you said, oh, I'd love to draw a picture or whatever, your instinct is go into MS Paint. But instead you get dropped into the latest version of Photoshop and you don't even know where to start. You can kind of poke around a little bit, but dodging and burning, there is no concept of that in these more simple programs of just you turn on the recording, you turn off the recording, or you play a sound on a soundboard. That's what this allows you to do. It is that more advanced version of it. And I should say, too, I'm probably rambling now, but we started the production of Transmission on a simply soundboard-based setup. So all of the first few episodes were me pressing a sound and then ducking it manually. Like you were saying, you go from 100% down to 30%. I would duck it manually. I would talk. I would then stop it manually and then play the next one. And that is, it's almost, I don't know what the analogy would be, but it's like you are figuring out how to dig the hole with a shovel, you know, dig by dig. I don't know what that would be, but you're digging the hole by hand, and then you realize, oh, the result of this is a gigantic hole. I'm just going to go get a big old tractor and take this out with one scoop. Like that kind of idea is what QLab allowed us to do on the pre-built thing.
Right. That was a terrible analogy, but I think people I think people get what you're saying. And I think
that's all I can think of. Just digging holes. I'm digging myself a hole here.
digging a hole. Come up with an analogy for digging a hole without digging a hole. Yeah. I think that's where I don't want to oversell it too much or whatever, but it feels like, especially if you want to be able to do, in effect, live production, whether you're like this show right now, we're not streaming live, so it doesn't matter per se. I can go back in and add the audio in afterwards and things like that if there was more audio beds and stuff. But what it allows you to do, even as a rough draft, and this is where I found it really helpful for a new show idea I had. I kind of built a rough structure in QLab of like an intro, talk for a bit about the show, and then queuing up different audio segments for this show, and just like allowing me to effectively what I would do, you know, for a website where I might just sketch it with a pencil and do a rough draft that way. In audio form, I struggle with how to do sort of rough audio drafts. And what QLab to me allows you to do, similar to what you do with a soundboard, but this is free, so why not use it, I guess, is sort of build a rough structure and then hit record and play on QLab and sort of walk through the structure of the elements without having to have a guest there, without having to have any of those things in place. And just kind of, and then play it back and see, okay, does that sound right? Does that feel right as I'm doing it, having this music under here at this point, that kind of stuff. And then going back and tweaking it and sort of building your show out from there. I think it has huge potential for the doing the exact kind of show that we kind of mocked earlier with, you know, the NPR style or whatever, and those kinds of things on a really cheap budget, and is really powerful, can save you a bunch of time, I think. They're not sponsors of the show, so we're not pitching them it for that reason or anything like that. But and there's probably, I would guess, there's stuff similar to it on Windows, but in the Mac world anyways, I haven't come across something that works this well and looks as good as it does too. That's the other thing, like the interface is good and not just like old audio interfaces from the late 90s that a lot of audio stuff like Ambrosia software soundboard app is kind of just this janky looking app that functions well, but it's just kind of like, so that's my pitch on QLab. Any comments on how you've sort of, any tips for using it specifically? Or one thing I know we wanted to do, I like to ask questions and then keep talking. One thing I thought about doing with you is like we'll do a screencast maybe, or interview style video screencast thing, where you can effectively show me what you're doing with it, show me your QLab, and then people can watch that. I think we'll put that out at some point here, and you can watch, if you follow the Show Me Your Mic Twitter feed, definitely we'll put it out on there, and then also obviously mention on a future episode of this show. But any other comments on QLab?
I'm trying it out. I don't have any good learning resources, which I think would be a good way for you to get started with it, simply because I was taught by once producer, now co-host on Transmission, Kenny, and so I don't really know how to get started with it, and maybe that's, I can't offer anything of value on that front, unfortunately. I'm sure there are some things on YouTube where you can either get started based on Figure 53 putting out their own stuff, or somebody out there is talking about it. If you follow theater production, though, that is probably what will get you most familiar with this setup. I myself came from a music production background, so a lot of the editing techniques, a lot of the sound knowledge-based things around podcasting feel second nature to me. So the learning parts of getting familiar with these new tools, or knowing which ones would be best for whatever setup you're trying to do, or knowing how deep I actually am into this beast of an audio production thing, whether it be QLab or Logic or whatever, I don't have a sense of that anymore, unfortunately. So I don't know what would be good learning resources for most folks on this. But I'm happy to answer any questions that people have, email, the Twitter, whatever else. I'm definitely available to answer any questions or help you out if you're, you know, wondering, is this right for my production style? I'm not doing live. Is this still going to be beneficial to me? That kind of stuff. And happy to help.
Yeah, I'm going to put a link to, you mentioned YouTube, there's a site, and like you said, it tends to be a lot more for theater drama production stuff that I, what I've seen anyways with QLab, but there's one sort of tutorial series, 5 or 6 episode series that talks a bit about looking like, from an audio perspective primarily, for how to use QLab. So that'd be one to check out if you're at all curious and you've played around with it.
Good.
Sort of confused by it. But yeah, where can folks follow you on the web, Kyle, if they do want to have questions?
Kyle Roderick on Twitter. Where else? Man, you can email me too. I'll just message me on Twitter and I'll or DM me, whatever the kids are saying these days, and I'll send you my contact details. And yeah, happy to answer any questions about QLab or production or podcasting network stuff or technical death metal. I mean, really anything.
Just throw that one in there.
Yeah,
I think we'll do this again in a bunch of episodes or so. We'll see where it goes. And if you have questions for Kyle or myself, like you said, from a podcast network-y standpoint or just podcasting in general, we'd be happy to answer them on future episodes. I'd be happy to answer them on future episodes. You can hit me up on Twitter, iChris on Twitter. Chris@goodstuff.fm is my email. I think I've given that out on here before. Yeah, I have. And if you want to be a guest on a future episode of Show Me Your Mic, goodstuff.appointlet.com is where you can go to book an appointment, as it were, on a future episode. And if the times that are there don't seem to work for your schedule, you're in a weird time zone, or weird, I shouldn't say weird, a different time zone where it's like 3 in the morning for you. I don't judge people's time zones. I try not to. And if that doesn't work, email me and we'll set up something else. I am available at other times. It just helps to have a dedicated time Tuesday mornings for me to sort of primarily focus on booking in. It feels like a bit of the interview or people wanting to be on a show. Maybe, I don't know if it's summertime or if it's just the people who are wanting to talk about their shows that are kind of drying up at the moment. And so there's guests and people who I've pursued and stuff to be on the show, but like we said, just in the interest of timing and trying to schedule things and figure all that stuff out, not always able to get them on in time for future episodes. So over the next sort of spring summer period here, episodes of Show Me Your Mic might be a little bit more sporadic, because I don't feel like I have a huge bunch of stuff to offer in value right now, speaking solo like. But yeah, as time permits and as it warrants it, we'll also, I'll pull Kyle in and chat about good stuff as well from time to time. And so if you're at all interested in that, like I said, have questions, comments, let me know. I think that's everything for this episode. You can visit patreon.com/iChris if you'd like to support more of what I'm doing with podcasting. Like Kyle mentioned, there's an episode of my Dailyish show that I do where I do ramble solo. If you're at all interested in more of that kind of stuff.
Hey, I dug it. It was a good one.
Yeah, where I actually brought my wife on and we chatted through it was formulating the idea of a podcast, like I talked about earlier, of something I'd like to build. It kind of branched out into just a broader discussion of supporting this podcasting habit / addiction, and just a perspective from outsider. Well, my wife isn't an outsider, but someone who's living in the real world while I'm talking to a microphone and dealing with, yeah, all the fun of that. So check that out if you're interested. Link will be in the show notes or goodstuff.fm/dailyish. And I think it was a recent episode 102 or 101, somewhere in there. I think that's it. So thanks for listening. Till next time, have a great day. Bye.